of all the lights of yesterday's evening session. Thank you for granting to our minds clarity of thought. There's no confusion, there's no obstruction, and no form of error, and no contradiction. Our hearts are settled on what you have given, you have done in your Son Jesus. Our eyes behold him as he sees us in him. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Law and Prophets, Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. He says, O fools, this is Jesus speaking to them now. He says, O fools, are slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, begin at Moses. And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, we didn't look at 44 yesterday. We should. In 44. Remember yesterday we mentioned their menu when we picked out the Emmys. Is it clear? That the Emmys interprets what again? Words. Is that clear? It translates words. That is, words that were said. So that's why Jesus, using the word Luke, using the word expounded, obviously meant that Jesus was explaining words. So we don't forget that the Hermes, where you have their menu, you have the Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S. Now the other leg of the text is verse 44. Don't forget again, we said, back to that 25, 27, all fools are slow about to believe that all, can we say all these things or all these specific things, right? Okay, that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, believing that Moses and all the prophets. So when you say all the prophets, again we said it can't be every prophet of the Old Testament. It has to be the things said by the prophet, again tailored to the fact that he suffered. And then he entered into his glory. Now, verse 44 says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Again, we have the word P-A-S to deal with. That is each. Can you remember again? Each. So again, it's specific. He's not telling you that every page of the Old Testament talks about him. That's not it. He's not saying the Old Testament is talking about me. No, he didn't say that. He selectively picked out the things that spoke about him. So he says all these were written. So again, we're referring to words and we're not referring to experiences. So we're referring to what was written. So he mentions Moses, alright, the prophets, then he picks out something we'll probably dwell on tomorrow, the Psalms concerning me. Now, notice that, unlike the other one, he says, Moses and all the prophets. This time around there was a singling out, he singled out the Psalms concerning me. Now, notice that Peter somewhat quoted Psalms a lot. We'll see that later. A whole lot. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 20. It was after the resurrection. Acts 1:20. For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, let another take. So, he picks that from the book of Psalms. But I'm going to read verse 16, Acts 1. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So, he's quoting the Psalms, Acts 2:25. For David speaks concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, Acts 2:25. For he is at my right hand, and I should not be moved. Acts 2:29. The patriarch David, his both dead and buried in sepulchre, is with us unto this day. Acts 2:34. For David is not ascended to the heavens, but said unto himself, he said himself, pardon me, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So he quotes David very well.
Very well. In his first sermon, after picking on Joel's prophecy, he goes back to David and he quotes David exhaustively, much more. You know, so obviously that must have reflected in the way, that must have reflected on why Luke will single out the Psalms. You know, and he picked that out of Jesus' conversation and he mentioned the Psalms.
So go back to that. Take note of that because it's coming out short and useful later on. Luke 24 and then verse 44 again. Now notice the words he used. All things must be fulfilled.
Now what was the subject of discussion? His death and the circumstances around it. Then, of course, is resurrection. So that's what it means by all things. That is, these things you are talking about, each thing, which is what we look at the word PAF, must need to be fulfilled. Alright?
So let's look at the word fulfilled.
The word fulfilled is the word plero, which is the word to conclude. So that means in the Old Testament, it dealt with scriptures that had an obligation, a task that needed to be fulfilled. That's the word plero, to conclude. So you would see in the Old Testament books like a race, like a pursuit. So we must look for uncompleted tasks. Okay, that's how you will see the Christ. Things that were given to someone to be done. So we'll come to that again. Uncompleted task, which is where it will become God's promise. And then you talk about faith. Because it must show something that needs to be done. That's why I said that must be fulfilled. Plero must be fulfilled.
Okay. Now,
then he says in verse 45.
Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Now, of course, you know the word nohus, to open their understanding. The understanding there is nohus, that is your thinking. So he opened their thinking. The word to open, we looked at that again, is the word dianoigo, D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. Of course, dia means to split wide. Okay? So when it says D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O, it means to open fully. To open fully. Let's see where that same term was used. Go on to it quickly. Mark 7:34. Ephata, that is
be opened as the air of the fellow and the tongue. Then again you have Luke 2:23. Same book of Luke. Luke 2:23. Every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Open the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Luke 2:23. Then the one we read earlier, Luke 24:31-32. Their eyes were opened. They vanished before their sight. Luke 24. With our hearts not born within us, as he opened fully to us the scriptures. He opened the scriptures fully. So that means he He did a complete overhaul, as it were, in their thinking by opening portals. You see another place in Acts 7:56. Very vitally, Acts 16:14, which happened to Dorcas, Acts 16:14, Lydia, sorry. God heard us, worshiped God, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened fully, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And then Acts 17:3 as well. Opening and alleging. That's opening the scriptures. So, Jesus opened fully the scriptures to them, that they might understand the scriptures. So the understanding there is what to synthesize. When you put things together very well, you make them to sync, synthesize. It was suinemi, S-U-N-I-E-M-I. It means to synthesize things to. That means you were able to bring all the scriptures together and then you made them to say the same thing. So in that sense, you know, that's what he did in that study. He opened fully the scriptures that they might understand the fully. So we can say that we can draw a Christ line across the scriptures. It doesn't mean that every scripture is in Christ, but you can, there's a Christ line across the Old Testament book. A Christ line that, again, we said that there will be an obligation that's given to Christ. An obligation given to someone, an unfulfilled task. That's why Paul will call it the promises of God. Epagelia. Something that was yet to be done. Is that clear? So, obviously, we would not see what we are talking about in actions or in deeds, because deeds are already done. All right? You know they were, the parting of the sea. That rod is Christ. Then Moses is who? The Father. Yeah, that's nonsense. You know, because it must be an unfulfilled task. Nobody will or must or should have done it. It will be left undone. But you will see it in what form? In words. Is it very clear? It will be left undone, but it's not unsaid. Is that clear? Left undone, but not unsaid. Is it making sense here? So, you draw a Christ line across the scripture. Again, look at verse 46. After opening their understanding and they were able to, and you see, this is a pattern that will tell you where the epistles came from. So, the epistles themselves were selective study. They were selective in their study. That is what we have as the epistles had a selectiveness to it. Now look at verse 46 again. And he said unto them, thus it is written. Now written where? He repeats himself. Written where? In the law of Moses. So in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. So, he says it is written. So, by saying thus it is written, that will be a summary. Okay? That will be the Christ line. Is that clear? Thus it is written. Okay? What is written? That it behove Christ to suffer. Or completed task.
It behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So, that means these were specific scriptures. Is it very clear? Very specific scriptures. It's not every scripture that they were talking about. These were specific scriptures. It behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So, can we say that Jesus, in this teaching, selectively picked the words of the prophets? Huh? Did he use them wholesale? No. Come on. Did he use the words of the prophet wholesale? No. He picked out what was written concerning him. And in this instance, did you notice that he zeroed in on specific events? That is the reason why, please pay attention to something, you will almost see a total silence in the epistles about the events of the four Gospels. Almost a total silence. In fact, you would hardly see anyone do a rehash of the events of the four Gospels, which took Matthew approximately 28 chapters by today's capitalization. Matthew didn't write in chapters, but I'm just saying 28 chapters. We took Luke 24, Mark 16, and of course John 21. You know, I recall that I had to do this somewhere. Maybe I should just repeat it. You know, I was doing a class. One of the classes I teach often is the charismatic ministry, where we talk about how Bible doctrine is arrived at. You know, in most of the Bible schools I've taught that particular aspect of doctrine. It's always a solemn class. Everybody is either getting born again all over again. You know, so a fellow now asks the question to see the level of delusion. Because sometimes you discover that the truth of God's word is so simple. You just had a mindset. I said, well, sir, that the Bible even says that Jesus did. I said something to them. I said that we almost all talk about the miracles of Jesus. I mentioned the fact that Moses had more miracles than Jesus. They had never heard it before. Said he had more. Of course, he didn't raise as much dead as Jesus. He killed more. But the point was, he had some spectacular, and he had a lengthy time, 40 years. I mean, snakes and snakes, you know, he had some of those things, snakes and snakes, burning bush. I mean, mention it. You know, just, you know, I mean, if somebody was born and put on water, I can imagine. I mean, so, the guy was now feeling uncomfortable that I said that. I said, yeah, look at it again. That if the miracles were the way you are alleging, how come at least 75% of the miracles were repeated by the four accounts? 75% were repeated by all the four. In fact, John was practically almost not concerned. You see a reluctance of John in writing about miracles. Almost a total reluctance. And you know, his of all the four Gospels, his was the one that was written almost side by side with the epistles. And it was practically, I mean, from the last major miracle he talked about till the resurrection was Lazarus being raised from the dead. That's the last major miracle he talked about. Before then, you see a whole lot of doctrine, a whole lot. You see lesser miracles in John. Less. He was one that opened his account, you know, discussing more of who Jesus is. Who he was. You know, John 1, 2, 3. Of course, he mentioned miracles in 2 at the wedding, Cana of Galilee. He seemed to focus more, you know, about talking about Christ, the person of Jesus. Now, when I finish saying that, someone now say, why should we say that? You know, like I said, delusion can be strong, very strong. And he said that, but the Bible says that Jesus did many miracles that all the books of this world cannot contain it. I said, let me say two things. I said, number one, you went to school now. If someone says all the books of the world cannot contain it, is that literal? Even if he did a miracle every day of 3.5 years, just the books of Yaba can contain it. So don't appear like you are talking to stupid people. I said, more so, the scripture you are even quoting, that's not what he said. Is there? I said, open it. No one can be arguing. Open it. Yeah, open it. I said, read it. That's John 21, verse 25. There are also, I said, read it slowly. Said, there are also, many other things which Jesus did. I said, did where? Did where? What's he talking about? He said he wasn't talking about signs and wonders. Which, if they could be written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that were written. What was he talking about? He was talking about the things that Jesus did to prove that he was alive to his disciples. He wasn't referring to signs and wonders. Amen. Are you there? Verse 30, chapter 21, chapter 20. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. You know, he's not talking about miracles, which were not written in this book. That's what I'm saying. How come I didn't see it? You didn't want to. Because many of us rush when we are reading the scriptures. Where are you rushing to? Take your time. You know, it's not anything spectacular to read normally. It's just that you are calm. That's all. So, how did I get there? You see that the epistles were, they just zeroed in. You won't find gist. You won't find stories. In fact, they almost didn't talk about Jesus doing signs, wonders, and miracles in the four gospels. It was only in fact. They stayed on his death, on his burial, his resurrection and ascension. Resurrection and ascension. They stayed on it like if you amass the words together, you are looking at a 95% ratio rate. Why? That's exactly what Jesus did for them. Are you there? They stayed on it. Are you following what I'm saying here? You almost see the epistles and feel, I didn't know where, you know, it wasn't part of doctrine for the church. Now, let's go back here. So, was Jesus selective? Okay, go back to Luke 24. Hope you are learning something. Okay. Now, I listened to someone say this, and I like the man, but just funny. Things happen. And the man said that the scriptures are not about Jesus, they're about the kingdom. That Jesus is just the way, he's not the destination. And he was saying, we're not the, And he was saying that his heart didn't prick him. Tell him that he's the door, he's not the house. And the man boldly said something that I felt that should be, and a very world acclaimed preacher, now preacher of words, is not left for us to judge. He said that he doesn't study the epistles, that he stays with the four gospels majorly. That he thinks that's where the church should stay. That's where the kingdom is. That the kingdom is all about you taking care of your needs, you know, and all that. That's a worthless kingdom. If the kingdom is about paying school fees, buying houses, it's a worthless kingdom. Because there are so many people outside the kingdom that the kingdom should look like. You understand? But this, I mean, you know, when you already have lazy believers, when you say, the one thing that's so applicable. I want to become something. That then the kingdom is applicable to me. Let's go for it. So he says, verse 46, he said unto them, thus is written, and thus is behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, which is, it took, I mean, if you have done no who's, pay attention. If you have done Diana goes no who's, that is, your thinking fully open to the scriptures, and then you have done a soon in the mind, definitely by saying repentance, by using repentance just a few more sentences after, all he is saying is that the scriptures must be fully open to the whole world. And look at how he opened the scriptures fully by sticking to certain events. So, being a Bible scholar and knowing so much history in the Bible is good. But you see, it's just good. Is that very clear? It's just good. There is a focus that was very clear. He says, so, now notice what he now says to them, and should be preached in his name. So, what should be preached? Very specific things. Are you there? What should be preached was specified. So he says, among all nations being at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. What things? Huh? It cannot be you are witnesses of miracles, signs, and wonders. It has to be you are witnesses of what I just showed you. Is that very clear? Which obviously refers to his resurrection from the dead. So, he therefore narrows down their ministry. Let me show you what I'm saying here. He narrows it down. There is an emphasis that Jesus clears here. So you become witnesses of fact specific. Are you there? Look at Isaiah 53. So, we are picky about the prophet. Are we picky? Picky about the prophet. Jesus himself was picky about his own life. As virtuous, godly, holy as he lived, he zeroed in on his, you discover that it's people like Peter that sprinkled Jesus' lifestyle into what he was saying. You know, our Lord, he was here, there was no gall found in his mouth. You understand? That's historical. You get the point. Paul also filtered some things. They said Jesus was before Pontius Pilate. He needed a good confession. Talking to Timothy. You know, this, just here and there. But their focus was on the fulfilled scriptures, which they taught as by faith. Fulfilled scriptures. In the sense of how he discharged the obligation of death, and how he demonstrated his authority over death by the resurrection. That was the focus of the epistles. Now, look at Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? You know the word report is the word Shemua. Shemua. Where you have the word Shema. Now Shemua is to hear something. okay, our report to hear something from a third party, something you were told. Now, Job made that distinction in Job 42 verse 5. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now my eyes see you. That's the word Ra, R-A-A-H, which is not third party. You don't say, I saw it through you. You know, that doesn't make sense. You saw it. But I heard you say. That is, I'm reporting what somebody has said. Well, I saw it. That's me. So, definitely the apostle, the prophet had a common, who has believed our report. A common message. And it says, in whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, what we shall uncover. So, definitely, it shows that whatever Isaiah himself said, Isaiah 3:1, did not cover everything he was saying. This particular one he said, in whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, which is the Hebrew word galah, he was referring to something specific. Because you can't call it a shemua when you are in the same letter, not the head of the folks. You have done this. That can't be a report. War unto you. That's not the report. So, as he began to talk about the report, he now says, he took, he bore, don't forget, an obligation. He took, he bore. That's why the Enoch asked Philip, who is he talking about, himself or somebody else? Now, who is there? Somebody he's talking about. That's an intelligent person. Who is he himself? He said, no. He said, bring it. Beginning at that very same scripture, he now preached Christ. That is, that obligation belongs to Jesus. So, by saying, who has believed our report, then he narrows down to an obligation given to someone. Who is Christ? So, all the prophets had things they said in judgment, things they said in rebuke, things they said in discussions, and you know, but they also now had something they said that had to do with an obligation someone was going to discharge. And on their behalf. That is the thin line of Jesus' interpretation. So nothing in their day suggested that everything they said was that report. Nothing. Nothing. So amongst what they said was the report. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? You will do yourself evil to classify everything the prophet said, everything in the Old Testament, as the same thing. They are not the same thing. Is it very clear? I say, you must see Christ in everything. You will see crisis. It must be fact specific, as Jesus has done for us. So, the question we left off yesterday was, if the prophet spoke by the Spirit, or they had the Spirit, or Holy Spirit, I mean, I think I'm safe to use that now. What did they have? Because you need to ask, what did they have? Remember I told you, if you were listening well, that in the Spirit by the Spirit, the one we just concluded, I said it is a prelim. Can you remember? So when I say Spirit, Holy Spirit, and you are looking at me like this, then I ask you, why are you absent in church? So, which spirit are we referring to? Look, get back to that 1 Peter 1.
Hospital 1:10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And I believe yesterday we were able to say this, that they couldn't have the Spirit of Christ and yet are prophesying about the Spirit of Christ. Is that very clear? Okay. But they had the Spirit. Are you there? So let's look at it and closely so.
Now, the writer picks his words carefully. He says, they inquired and searched. They inquired and searched. Now, observe that word, search. Who will stay with, 1 Corinthians 2:10 and Romans 8:27. We'll come back there. But let's look at that word search a bit closely. John 5:39. Only once was that word used outside of man's pursuit. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. John 5:39. John 7:52. Are thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Search and look. So man is in view. Then you have, I've given you 1 Corinthians 2:10 and Romans 8:27. We're going to that, where the same word set was used. 1 Corinthians 2:10, Romans 8:27. But look at Revelation 2:23. Will be an exception. I am he which searches the heart, the reins and the heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So that's an exception. We've got Revelation. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. So in this instance, it says, is Jesus searching the hearts of men? Until now, John 5:39 and John 7 is a man looking for something. So look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. Okay, I'll start from 9. It says, eye has not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, which Spirit? The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The word here, deep things, actually is just the word depth. It's the Greek word bathos, B-A-T-H-O-S, which refers to something that is full or is so much. What are the deep things of God? Don't think it's referring to if you are digging hole and then you are looking for something in the hole. No, no. It's old English. It's depth. The depth here, now don't forget the context. The context of this statement should be drawn to verse 7. When Paul says that, verse 6 says, having we speak the wisdom of God among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the things of this world that come to nothing. Can we take verse 7 together? And we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So it says the wisdom of God, the insight, is in question. So the issue is knowledge, right? Huh? Come on. Oh, good. So, by using the word, let's look at that word again, the word bathos, depth. Okay?
In Matthew 13:5, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth.
That is, there was not much soil. Is that very clear?
Not much.
That's what they mean. Not much of soil. Is it clear? You don't say that the thing was not deep inside. There was not much soil there.
Mark 4. Mark 4 verse 5. It had no depth of earth. Not much of earth. Now, look at Luke 5:4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Are you there? Okay. What do you mean by launch out into the deep?
That is, go for much. Is that very clear? Not saying put your net deep down the sea. No. Throw your net out and catch much. Is it clear?
See more. Romans 8:39.
So that means the word battles has to do with quantity and quality. Is that clear?
Okay. No height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 11:33. All the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. Is that clear? Talking about much. 2 Corinthians 8:2. Deep poverty. That's in Macedonia, which is much poverty. Is that very clear? Same word, battles. Then Ephesians 3:18. May be able to comment all saying what is the breadth, length, and depth and height. The much. Now see something. Go back to that 1 Corinthians 2. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God has given us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all these things, yea, the deep things of God. Again, search means to look out for, alright, or to bring out. Is that very clear? So, the Spirit searches will be, he brings out of to be seen. Then he says, the deep things of God, which is the fullness of God. Because verse 9 says, eye, ears, and heart had not perceived it. So the context remains knowledge. The wisdom of God. That's the context. Insight. So it says the Spirit, don't lose this one now, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, it's a search to look for and find, or to bring out to be seen. Huh? Excellent. Because you need to just track back and see that he mentioned the Spirit in verse 4. The demonstration of the Spirit, which is to explain something. The demonstration of the Spirit
and of power. Of power refers to the subject matter. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So, by saying, he searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, again, he's talking about knowledge. Now we have received, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Listen carefully, oh. The Spirit of God. Don't let that confuse you. He has already told you in verse 10, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This is for the Spirit. So verse 10 already talks about knowledge. He's talking about knowledge. Verse 12. Now, let's take verse 12 together. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So is that Spirit of God clear to us now? Okay. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Don't forget, he's explaining the demonstration of the Spirit. He started by saying, my speech and my preaching. Speech and preaching. So, don't lose sight of the fact that he's still talking about knowledge. So, verse 13. Which things also what? We speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, that the word Holy Ghost is not in the original, is which the Spirit, actually, teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So far, is he talking about knowledge? Has he left discussing knowledge? No. Is he talking about knowledge? So, he says the Spirit teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's King James that put things there. It's comparing spiritual with spiritual. Okay? Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, when you say spiritual, you mean of the Spirit. Are you there? So, what was of the Spirit? It mentioned information. Then it mentioned we have received. That we might know. So, it says comparing. So, is that comparing also the teaching? Huh? Okay. It's the teaching. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing, which is to communicate, is the word sokrino, to put things together. Spiritual things with spiritual. Let's back down, let's move it. Don't forget, I said the word Holy Ghost is confusing. He maintained the word Spirit throughout, the same thing he was talking about. Is it clear? Huh? The word Holy Ghost is not there. It's not in the original language or the text. So it's Spirit, 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 Spirit. The Spirit of verse 4. My speech and my teaching. So, is Paul dealing with preaching? Is Paul dealing with preaching? Yes. Is Paul dealing with preaching? Chapter 2 verse 1. When I came to you, not with the essence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He's dealing with preaching. Verse 3. Oh, verse 4, sorry. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the also of the Spirit and of power. So he's dealing with words. So when you say demonstration of the Spirit, you know, when we say demonstration, is we demonstrate. How do I demonstrate? This demonstration is to flash light on a surface. Apodexis. A-P-O-D-E-I-X-I-S. A-P-O-D-E-I-X-I-S. It's to show proof. That something is somewhere, and then you flash light on the surface. I know you are quick thinkers. That surface will be what now? The Old Testament. Is it clear? So, the demonstration of the Spirit is within the Old Testament books. By saying of power, the power is referring to is Christ crucified, which he had mentioned earlier in chapter 1, verse 18 and 24. He calls it the power of God. So he's saying that the Spirit reveals Christ. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, again, let's get back to the word apodexis. Just once. It's used just once. And sometimes that can be a very slippery ground. Apodexis is just once. But it has a something similar to it, which is the word apodeknumi. I'll spell it for you. P-O-D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. P-O-D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. Let's see that. P-O-D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. Acts 2:22. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus Nazareth, a man approved of God. It means he was singled out. Oh, you saw he was of God. That is, there was spotlight on him by signs, wonders, and miracles. That is, he was just singled out. Okay? Acts 25, verse 27. To signify the crimes made against him. To signify something. Acts 25, 27. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. By the same person. For we are made a spectacle unto the world. A show. Then 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. Showing himself as his God, displaying. So we have an idea. By saying demonstration of the Spirit, that means the Spirit does what? Signifies. What does the Spirit signify? Christ crucified. Is it very clear? So demonstration of the Spirit, which is power, refers to miracles or preaching. Huh? Is he talking about signs and wonders, deeds done, or words spoken? Okay, so it is words that actually flash those lights. Is it very clear? Is it clear? Okay, so let's now trail the Spirit from that verse 4. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It can be referring to miracles. Is this very clear? So let's now follow the Spirit on and now say that God has revealed. Is that revealed the same apodexis? Huh? Unto us by His Spirit. Is that very clear? What man thinks of a man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit which is of God. So, obviously he's talking about the preaching of Christ. Unveiling Jesus. Where? In the Old Testament. Now, don't forget again, the apostles focused on what exactly? Christ crucified. For as the princes of this world know, they will now crucify the Lord of glory. I will take that scripture on later on. It seems to imply that if they are known that Christ's death will save the world, they would not have killed him. That doesn't make sense. Because if you knew that this is redemption of your sins, you will kill him. So there seems to be a play of language, a play of words there. We'll sort it out. Just remind you. So, again, what he's dealing with is preaching. Don't ever leave Don't ever insert any meaning to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 down to 16. Don't insert any meaning. He's talking about the wisdom of God, which is called Christ crucified. Are you following this? So, he's referring to the Spirit. Now, he now points out something critical. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, so, is he also following the Luke 24 pattern? Is he? Because Paul also narrowed down to what? Christ crucified. He says that to the Jews is a stumbling block. To the non-Jew, the Gentile, the very educated, is foolishness. But to us, is the wisdom of God, is the power of God. To us that are saved. To us that have received the Spirit that is not of this world, but is of God. Do you understand? So his discussion was on what? Insight into the finished work of Christ. Is it very clear? Let me try and understand this very well. Always stay within a discussion. Now, he now says, we have received. Verse 12. Then in verse 14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know because they are spiritual himself, but he that is spiritual judges all things, and yet he himself is judge of no man. So, we have the capacity both to know and to teach. Is that very clear? There's the capacity both to know and to teach. So, the searching out there is done by who? It's done by who? A man with the Spirit of God. Or a man whose Spirit is of God, correct? So he does the searching. It's not God searching God. It is the Spirit of God, which is of man, searching God. Don't forget the searching, no. The searching is to bring out to be seen. Is it very clear? Okay. So let's proceed further. Romans 8. He that searches the heart knows, 27, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. Now, we can be very smart about that. Don't create a scenario. Just let's track the Spirit. Romans 8:1. Oh, sorry, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life where? In Christ Jesus. Okay? Romans 8:4. That the righteousness of God will be in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's still man. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. Verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but where? In the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of these. Okay? The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the disease of the body, you shall live. I've explained that to you. That's a past tense work. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? How are you led? By receiving, you are taken from the flesh to the Spirit. Is that clear? 15. You have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but the Spirit of what? Sonship. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness that Spirit that we are what? That's so material. The same thing. So, are we still discussing? Is the Spirit clear up to this point? Huh? Is the Spirit clear up to this point? The Spirit of the Son? So, is the Spirit of the Son the spirit of the believer. Is it the spirit of God? Good. So, verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to which the redemption of the body. Verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. Is the Spirit the received Spirit? Huh? Is the Spirit the received Spirit?
Good. Let's get back to that 27. For he that searches just knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Okay. Which is to perceive. Now, by saying what is the mind of the Spirit, there is a slight challenge there. And it's the use of the word mind. The word there is a bit tricky. I will have to find out. It's the word phronema. Phronema. It's not referring to thinking. You know, thinking is already nogus, reasoning. Not the reasoning of the Spirit. It's phronema, which he used earlier in Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, and spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So, the word here talks about an aspiration. Phronema is an aspiration. Something you aspire for. Something you propose to do. That's why it says it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So by saying that, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That would be what the aspiration. Is it there? Because it makes intercession for the saints according to God. So what would be the aspiration of the Spirit? 8:11. Quicken what? Quicken what? And now, 23. For the redemption of our body. So the mind of the Spirit in Romans 8:27 will be what? Will be what? Will be what? You don't know. What will be the aspiration of the Spirit? What is being waited for? I know. It says, for we know that all things work together for good. So, he that searches the heart will be who? Will be Jesus? Okay, let me leave that one for you to think about. He that searches the heart knows what is the aspiration of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. Don't forget the word mind is an active word. It's an active word. To propose for, to propose to what? Phronema. To propose for. So I will leave this one for you to look at. But I believe we have sorted the 1 Corinthians 2:10:1. Who does the search? What is the search? The search is to preach. The search of 1 Corinthians 2:10 is what?
To what?
Teach.
Searching the deep things of God will be what? To explain the gospel. Is it clear? Is it very clear? So, back to our question. Our question has not been answered. So, verse 10. Of which are... Oh, sorry. I'm back. First Peter 1. Of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently. So, is that search looking for or bringing out to say? So, what's the active word there? Prophesied. Is it clear? Is it very clear? They prophesied of what? The grace that should come unto you. First Peter 1. Then he says, searching what? Okay, that's the word actually. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time? So yesterday we said two things. Who and when. Can you remember yesterday? Who and when. So, was their spirit involved in this? Yes. Was their spirit involved? Was their spirit involved? Was their spirit of God? Let's start all over again. Was their spirit involved? Was their spirit of God? It was of the devil. Let's start all over again. Was their spirit of God? Okay. Was their spirit born of God? No. Was it of God?
Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes.
Okay. Was their spirit involved in prophesying? If their spirit was not involved in prophesying, what were they using? Was God involved in their spirit? Okay. To what extent? That's another word, right? To what extent was he involved? Did God have a contact with the human spirit in what they were doing? Oh, it's upon them. I believe we have thrown down to the bottomless pit. Did God have a contact with their spirit? Did God have a contact with their spirit? Were they born again? Good. We are getting close. So, pause. What did the writer of Hebrews call the just man? Hebrews 12:23. He calls it the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, by using made perfect, of course, the word here is just. That means to be approved. Dikaios, D-I-K-A-I-O-S, is an adjective, to be approved. Made perfect will be, when you use teleo, that means there was a journey. So, whatever they were that was accorded them in the Old Testament, did it have to do with their spirit? Was it their spirit? Okay, was their body? I know you are too smart to say spirit, soul, and body again. Was it their bodies? But their spirit. So, let me throw the bomb. Was God with their spirit? Okay. Was Satan with their spirit? So they were prophesying by what? They just ate so much bread and beans. I feel like they're saying something. So, was God with their spirit? Okay, by using the spirit of just men made perfect. In fact, the way, I think it's the King, the JB King's version, said, perfected at last. He got the tone. Because it's like a journey, an accomplishment. So that means that there was a distance with their spirit. Somewhere they were aiming for. Okay? And was that pursuit, was it caused by God? Huh? Okay, good. So it was. So look at this. Look at Galatians 3:14. So in the Old Testament, if a man believes the gospel, does it have any effect on his spirit? Did he have any effect on their spirit? Huh? Okay. Did he have any effect? Did their faith in the gospel have any effect on their spirit? And now? So, was their spirit any different from those who did not believe? Good. Yes. Very yes. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The promised Spirit. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, if a son and heir of God through Christ. So he makes a decision between them being servants and now God. Now let's look at other words. This is just for your own observation. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, sealed means proof of. Right? A proof of God. And a proof, obviously, of the new birth. The proof of what God had done in Christ, the new birth. So, let's backtrack a bit. Was God involved in their spirit? Yes. Because how would you know about the sufferings of Christ and say it? Can you prophesy without inspiration? Huh? Okay, so that inspiration came from where? Huh? So did God have a contact with their spirit? No. Did God have a contact with their spirit? Did God have a contact with their spirit? So the spirit upon them is actually in them. That incident or experience happened where? In their... So, was their spirit involved? Huh? Okay. So, in the entire work of redemption, in the promissory note, was it done, was something done to their spirit? Huh? Ah. Was something done to their spirit?
I know.
But the full work was not done. Was God involved in their spirit? Yes. But the full work was not done. And Jesus, John put it like this. He said, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We'll see that a bit tomorrow. But look at this. So, their spirit was involved in the prophecy. But that was not the promised spirit. Is it clear? Is it very clear? Knowing that the promised spirit is a new birth. I hope you can remember. But, so, what you can call their spirit will be what? It's not born again. Right? So, Did God have a contact with their spirit? I'll ask again. Okay, let's see another piece. 2 Timothy 3:15, a popular verse. All scripture, now what is scripture now? The law and the prophets, right? Old Testament, law of Moses, okay, Psalms. So, all scripture is what? Huh? Given by what? Inspiration of God. Now, by using inspiration, just one word, is the word theopneustos. I'll spell it for you. Theo is God. You know theo, theology. T-H-E-O, that's God. Don't put that aside. Then you have the word neustos. That's what some version just says, breathed by God. So, P-N-E-U-S-T-O-S. Now, you know pneuma is spirit. So, to have neo, P-N-E-O, is to blow. So, did God blow on the paper or blew in their spirit? I know. It means to inspire an action. Okay? So, was their spirit involved? Huh? Very good. So, was God involved in their spirit? Okay. But to an extent. So, they were inspired. Inspired would mean to blow. So, what did he blow on them? We need to find out. All scripture they wrote, you know, it doesn't mean that they sound like them. Primarily, they spoke, right? So it was the speaking that is called inspired. Not that they just took the pen and they just said, I don't know what's happening, I'm just writing. Is it clear? Now, pay attention. So there was obviously an intercourse between the spirit of those men and God. Because it happened in their heart. It didn't happen, you wouldn't see it evident. And don't forget again, we're not referring to actions, we're referring to knowledge and words. So, let's find out. 2 Peter 1, 21. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. Is this very clear? So it's not that they cooked something up. It didn't come by the will of man. Now, you know, yesterday we looked at the word, more sure word of prophecy, which we call what? Prophetic words. Words. Words of the prophet. So, it said the words of the prophet did not come by the will of man. But holy men of God. So, if they are only men of God, where were they of God? In their brain or in their spirit? And now, where have we been since? Spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, we'll have two things. We'll have revelation and we'll have the search. Revelation and the search. The search is to bring out to see. And then we have the search. Revelation, sorry, and the search. So we distinguish where were they limited? Because don't forget that we are teaching what they said. Is it very clear? What we are teaching, what is in the epistles, was first said by these people. Is that very clear? Is it very clear? And everything Jesus himself taught was first said by them. And yet, their spirit was not teleo. It wasn't perfected. So, to what degree was their spirit, was the state, will be our next question. So, was their spirit of God? Okay, let me leave. Don't let me compound it. Was God in contact with their spirit? You know, good. Was it permanent or? Was it permanent or experiential? How? Have 5 more minutes. Time out. No, I'm not saying you are wrong. I'm just trying to demonstrate what you're saying. So, there was a blow. There was an inspiration from God in their spirit. Okay? Now, let's see this. The interesting thing is that, let me leave this. Look at Matthew 13. Let's do something quickly. Matthew 13. We'll find out why their words were distorted. Sorry, contradictory. Matthew 13. Now, after Jesus had given the parable of the sower, he now explained to his own folks in verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, notice what them is not given. It's not that they were excluded. No. It wasn't an exclusion. So, just, you know, take it. Whatever hath to him shall be given, hath what? And he shall have more abundance. Whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away what he hath. Look at 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is what? The prophecy of Isaiah. Now, the word here is Anna Plaro, A-N-A, P-L-A, R-A-O is A-N-A-P-L-A-R-A-O. Sorry, E-P-L-E-R-A-O. It's, I hope I got the spelling right. I may be wrong. I will correct it tomorrow if I made a mistake. It's like to measure up to something. About what we have been saying about obligation. To measure up. Every time you see the word fulfilled, there has to be human cooperation. If God says it, brethren, it must be fulfilled! It is man that fulfills it. So, let me say something. Since it requires a man's cooperation, it need not be fulfilled. Because in them is fulfilled. That is, they measured up to Isaiah's judgments. That means Isaiah is not prophesying about Christ's work. Are you getting this? He is prophesying now about certain people. In this instance, it's not a particular crowd of people. Not ABC. It's not like it has to be Kule Wale Jide. No. It's an open ticket. It can go unfulfilled with you. Because there has to be a cooperation for this to be in someone. So he says that in them is fulfilled. That is, they measure up with what Isaiah said. Look at that word, anaplero. It's the same way, look at this seat now. You know, assuming I woke up and they brought me here. That is, they compelled me. But you know how you just say, come. And then now, they welcome you, they usher you, and then you come and sit somewhere. You don't have to sit there. You can say, well, I'm not sitting there. You can even say, I'm not coming. Have you not seen some seats, they will say, reserved. And it will be reserved for emptiness. No, serious. The same word was used in 1 Corinthians 14:16. He that occupies the room of the unlearned. How shall he that measures up? That is, the guy just stepped into that glory. It's not an office for anybody that when they gave back to you, you were now born to be the unlearned. You know, Paul is helping the unlearned. So that means we can unfulfill it. So, Jesus, therefore, is talking to these guys to unfulfill Isaiah. Do you get it? Are you following what I'm saying here? So, we can make some of those prophecies unfulfilled. Is this very clear? Look at, let's see another place. Philippians 2:30. For the work of Christ was nailed to death, and not God's life, to supply your lack of service towards me. To supply. So, he made a supply. That's his word. You made a supply. You fulfilled. It's an action. Man's action. Galatians 6:2. I skipped that one. I error. Fulfill ye the law of Christ. Fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's body. So, that fulfilling is a cooperation. Are you following this? You can choose not to. Pay attention. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. To fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. For bring us to speak to Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins. Can you see? There's a cooperation to it. We want to preach to them. Okay? That's what we want to do. So that means we can make some things unfulfilled. It won't happen. It will take a man's cooperation. You know it's similar to Jesus' own too. Jesus fulfilled it. He could have said he wasn't. Are you getting this at all? So don't say the word, it is fulfilled. It shall be fulfilled. To mean, it must happen. No. It means, it will be done by someone. Is it clear? Look at that prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 6:9. You see that it had nothing to do with any particular set of people. Isaiah 6:9. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. But make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their ears. Let them see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and converted and be healed. Then I said, I, Lord, how long? Now, notice something. I was going to show you this earlier. Notice the text. Go back to Matthew 13. So, this need not come to pass for any particular person. Is this clear? Matthew 13. In them, can we put it like this? Matthew 13, 14. In them is the cooperation with the prophecy of Isaiah. Is it clear? In them is the cooperation, saying, by hearing, you hear, and shall not understand. Seeing, you see, and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross. By them, and their ears, look at this. And their eyes are closed. Let us, anytime they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears,
and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, this was used again by Jesus, Mark 4:12 and Luke 8:10.
So can we say Jesus used parables to unfulfill Isaiah's prophecy?
Ah.
Come on. It was to cure what he said.
Is it very clear what I say here?
Uh-huh. Now, so was that prophecy about Christ? Eh? Was it about Christ? No. It was about people. Can we call it a prophecy of judgment? Eh? Can we call it a prophecy of judgment? Because he said this, it is not a, is that statement a gospel? It's not. So, is it about Christ? Ah, no. Okay, so just mark that. That is question mark. It's not about Christ. Okay? Because it's not a promise of God. Neither is it something to be looking forward to. So, look at John 12:40. He had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. Now, we are smart enough to know that it's not the eye that will heal them, they also hardened their heart. Okay? Now, the he there is a pronoun that can be the which. It's actually which blinded their heart. Not he, not a person. He's discussing here. Because verse 36 says, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus and the Father, and did not hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet, who said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, they have blinded their eyes. So it can't be he that blinded their mind. It has to be it. What blinded their heart? Unbelief. You get this? So faith opens our heart to light. It is faith that unlocks. Faith in Christ unlocks the Old Testament. And unbelief blocks your heart. Are you there? Okay. So Jesus used the parables because of their unbelief. So to undo that prophecy. Is it clear? Look at Paul. Acts 28. So it is never to leave those people in their status. No. Acts 28. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken the word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of these people is waxed cross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears are closed. You know the same prophecy. And I showed them. Now look at 28. But be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when they had said this word, the Jews departed, and they had greeting among themselves. So, what did Paul do? Paul didn't leave them all. Okay? He kept speaking. So, that prophecy does not allow us to leave people. It's actually to inspire us to keep preaching. Are you getting it? Every time we have read it, it's about unbelief. And the actors, Jesus or Paul, they kept preaching. Because it is not a specific people he's talking about. It's only an attitude of unbelief that can be fulfilled by anyone. Are you getting this? So, Romans 11:8. God has given us a slumber, eyes that they could not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Now,
that quoted from Isaiah was mixed. Isaiah 29 verse 10 was quoted. And of course, Isaiah 6 verse 9. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now, of course, by the time you read chapter 4, it says, if the gospel is hid, is he to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine on them. So, that blindness is a function of what? Unbelief. So, Matthew 13 again, verse 15, I want you to see something. So faith is the key, right? For these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, Matthew 13, 15, and their eyes, they are closed, that at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That is, I will heal them. So they definitely, you know, whatever they are blinded towards is God's power, which is unbelief. Verse 16 is very clear. But blessed are your eyes for the see, and your ears for the hear. Okay? For verily, verse 17, I say unto you, that many persons, righteous men, have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So, what Jesus was commending faith, right? So faith is the key here. So, that means that unbelief will fulfill that prophecy, faith will unfulfill it. Is it clear? So again, we have the two choices, of faith or unbelief. So that means, except Christ. When you say, it is Christ indeed must suffer. That one is personalized. The other ones are open-handed. You can pick your own. You don't have to fulfill it. That's the point. Let's see Judas 2. I won't say Judas 1. Acts 1. Acts 1:16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Now, this is very tricky. Why would you say must needs have been fulfilled? What he's saying is that this scripture has definitely been fulfilled. Do you get it? That this scripture I'm reading to you. I don't know why Peter stressed this, but it's fine. Concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, he looked for the way he fulfilled it, and had obtained part of this ministry. All of this is Judas' volition. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue, Akeldama. This is to say, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Did he have to do it? Let no man therein dwell, and his bishopric let another take. So, was this God's promise? No. This was obviously a prediction that did not have to come to pass.
Are you there? Is it possible for this fellow to have betrayed Jesus and still lived?
Yes.
So he's called a son of perdition because of his unbelief. He's not a betrayer. And his unbelief was tough. The other ones gave themselves chance. They didn't die. He just killed himself. All of them at that point were guys who needed Jesus to eat with them. Do you know that upon all the things he did, and he said, okay, he said, touch me, a spirit has of flesh and blood. And they did. He said, do you have any food? And they gave him. He said, oh, master, no. Ah, oh, master. He said, any food? Are you serious, Lord? And they gave him. So don't pick out Thomas. Thomas just thought, they provided food. Do you understand? So there was a prediction. Okay? So he said, his habitation shall be desolate. And let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So, was this God's will? Huh? Who fulfilled God's will? No, no, we're going, no. Who fulfilled God's will? But did the prophet also intimate us about opposition to God's will that need not happen? Is it clear? That need not happen. Are you there? That need not happen. And you will discover that the focus of that prophecy, or those prophecies, was unbelief. The very mother of the law. Unbelief remains the focus. So we are going to find two sets of people all through the Bible. Those who believe and those who do not believe. It's still the same thing. We're going to see what faith has done and what unbelief also has done. So, was it written that Judas would do this? No. He walked into it as an act of his will. So I say, but Jesus had to be betrayed by Judas. He could have been one of those damsels. It could have been, you know, it wasn't anybody. Are you following this? Let me leave it. Let me leave this one. We'll get to this one later. But the point is that when you read these words, it takes a man's cooperation. So you can see that there's nothing God has said that man was never involved. Whatever God says must come to pass. It takes a man. Are you there? Even the promise he gave of redemption, it was yet a man I was talking about. That's why the words used for Jesus were words of human volition. Obedience fulfilled. Obedience fulfilled. He did. He obeyed. So if there's obedience, there could have been disobedience. Are you following? So, we can say those prophecies were statements of faith. Look at Acts 2:25. Hope you are learning something. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. Before my face, for he was on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Therefore also my flesh also shall rest in hope. That's David. So look at the mix. David said, I foresaw the Lord. The 26 about David. The 27. Because thou wilt not suffer my soul, leave my soul in hell.
neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. How many people have been discussed in verse 27? Huh? You should have known there are two now. 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy presence. Of course, the presence refers to who? Jesus' resurrection. So, he's talking about what he was waiting for. David, obviously, in his prophecy, was waiting for who? Christ's resurrection. So, the joy was his. Are you there? You will not suffer thy only one to see corruption, talking about Jesus. You will not abandon my soul in hell, talking about himself. Are you there? His identification, no? Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David. Talk about knowledge. You know, Peter was he had run away. When you know, you're bold. Let me speak freely unto you. A guy that should be calling, giving testimonies of how he has changed. And confessing how, you know I'm a bad guy. I deny this man and all that. You know, they have time. Knowledge just emboldened him. He just saw the importance of what Christ has done. I mean, imagine if Judas had tarried. His death need not to have happened. His death is not God's promise. His death does not have a path to redemption. It's not as though one of the things we believe in the gospel is Judas killed himself. That before you can believe the gospel, you must accept in your heart that Judas died. It's an irrelevant event. Let me even add one more. Do you know that Judas's betrayal is not a fact of the gospel? It's not a fact of the gospel. Just say, for the scripture, I believe the scripture. I say, Christ died according to Judas's betrayal. No. Christ died. So, the fact remained that what he did not have to do it. Are you getting this? This happened. How can you kill yourself for what? It's not a fact of the gospel. It's not a relevant fact. That is why, if you notice, none of the epistles talked about him. None. The book of Acts, of course, because it has a lot of gist. None. There was no mention. And the fact that Paul picked out in 1 Corinthians 11, the night he was betrayed, he got it from Luke. Four Gospels. It's not a revelation. So, it needs to be fulfilled. This has been fulfilled though by someone. It could have gone unfulfilled. Do you understand? It could have gone unfulfilled. Now, look at that Acts 2 again. Both dead and buried. And verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath, and the people of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Like I said, 27 is identification. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Of course, he's not talking about all those guys. He's talking about the apostles. So it need not happen. That is, when you see it's fulfilled, it need not. There are things that can be done. I'll give you an instance. You know, when Jesus talked about the fall of Jerusalem, he said, this will be fulfilled. That was said by, I'll show you that, Daniel. Said, however, somebody will be taking a mother will lose her. They said, look, when you hear about it, start running. That means you can't fulfill it for yourself. Yes. That when you hear this one. So there are predictions that you can unfulfill. It takes a man. Do you know, for example, that in the house of Cornelius, Isaiah's prophecy failed? All the house. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, it has not much fulfillment in Samaria. A lot of fulfillment in Judea.
It had in the house of the jailer. It wasn't fulfilled. But in the synagogue of the Jews, it had pleroma of fulfillment. Even till date. They take this out of it. I have friends that believe in God. Acts 13, you just say, Acts 13. Okay, somebody was asking about the word upon. Alright? Let's see upon. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you. Can you see? Which is spoken of in the prophet. I know you don't think it's upon, is in their head. That happened to you. Behold, you despise us and wonder. So look at what will come upon them is whose action? Whose action? Theirs. Very good. For I walk a walk in your days, a walk which you shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So despise us. So what came upon them was that they were what? Despise us. So it's an apostasy to come upon. This was taken from Isaiah 29:14 and Habakkuk 1:5. Let me show you another one. Ephesians 5. When you hear coming upon, this is where we got it from. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of this cometh the wrath of God. Upon. You know, it's not on their head. So this upon, is it God's action or their action? You know what the wrath of God is by now. Same thing, Colossians 3. Verse 6. Comment on. So it's a verb. It's a verb and an action of the person being spoken of. Okay. So Luke 1:35. So when you say come upon, that's an action of a man by the Spirit. Is it clear? Luke 1:35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore shall the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Is this a function of Mary's faith? I ask a question. Or you just found herself pregnant? Was she pregnant at this point?
No.
So, it is a function of what she accepted, what she did, and what she believed. We'll see more. Luke 11:22. And when a stronger man, stronger than he, shall come upon him and overcome him, it takes from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divides his spoils. Is it clear that he's not talking about the head? Eh? It's an action of a man. Acts, okay, Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So he's talking about happening, things that will happen. 35. A snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What's he talking about? Take it to yourself, 34. Lest at any time you be charged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, 34. And so the day come upon you unawares. Talking about man's action.
Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. And the Holy Ghost is what?
So what is the coming upon? You will receive. Whose action is it?
Acts 2. Okay, I'm done with Acts 1. Acts 8:24. And then Simon said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken should come unto me. What did he say to him? Thy money perish with you. For I perceive, verse 23, that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. I see that you have a gall of bitterness, a bond of iniquity. Ah, pray that these things should not happen to you. It's too far, it's too much, sir. What have I asked for? It's just to connect. Don't do me like this. Acts 14:19. I hope you are learning something. And there come either certain Jews from Antioch and Idiom who persuaded the people and had stoned Paul to drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So it's an experience. Acts, Ephesians 2:7 and James 5:1. So come upon is the word, let me quickly give it to you. Epachomai, E-P-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. E-P-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Ephesians 2:7. So coming upon is not a passive thing, it's an active thing on behalf of the come upon. Acts 2:7. In the ages to come that happened, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. So this is his action in the ages to come. James 5:1. So when you hear the Spirit upon, you are referring to an experience of someone. Is that very clear? Something someone did and people can see. James 5:1. Go through now, we rich men, weep and hold, for your mystery shall come on you, shall happen to you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moving, your gold and silver is conquered, the rust of them shall be used against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were. You have heaped up treasure for the last days in another. So, one more, I think. Yep. Go back to Acts 13. Acts 13, 41. Verse 40, beware lest that come upon you. That means you can stop the incidents. Don't let this happen. Is that very clear? Lest it happens. Verse 41, behold you despise us and plunder. So it's something they could have stopped. That is, it need not happen. Is that clear? So when you hear upon, it should not be the head of somebody you are looking at. You are looking at the person's action. Is that clear? So it's a terminology. So don't forget, I'm closing quickly, that in the time of the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament, judgment was also present. Judgment was equally present. The judgment of sin was present. So you will find men speak about, this is what we mentioned about unbelief. So unbelief will also be indicated. Jesus also spoke about unbelief. Alright? And the effect and the impact of it. Look at Matthew 12:39. And even an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There shall be no sign given to thee but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, this is very unique. The sign of the prophet Jonah. For, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. The word is semion, for an indication. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment, and this generation, with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So it's dealing about what? The preaching of what? Huh? The preaching of who? Which is his resurrection. Because Jonah, out of the belly of the whale, now said, salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2:9, and now went to preach at Nineveh. So, Jesus is mentioning here the sign of his resurrection. So, we have a responsibility to do a healthy study of the prophets and see where they spoke in judgment and why it was so. And also, why, how they spoke about Christ. So, all they said about Christ has been fulfilled for us. But other things they said in judgment need not be what? Okay. Don't forget that. That's what some people call conditional prophecies that will require you to cooperate with it. Is it very clear? So, the prophets, did they speak by the Spirit? Huh? So, when you hear the Spirit was upon them, it's not their head though. Is it clear? Can we say within them? Where else could they have been? Did God walk within them? No, he walked around them. He walked within them. Did he blow on their brain or on their spirit? Very, very good. Amen.